Each year it seems like there's a mad rush in my mind because we go from trying to get through the Christmas season and we're so relieved. And in a couple of weeks afterwards, it's just kind of a rest. And then we get into this thing called Lent, and everyone thinking, we're supposed to be dour and sad. We're supposed to give up something we love and we don't know what to do. And, you know, like as soon as we get past Easter, things will be, we get through. Relax again, right? And so here we are. We're past Easter, and nobody's really worried about Pentecost, right? Is that getting one high strung? Nah, we'll celebrate the flames. It'll be neat. So let's kind of back up because we kind of rushed through what was Jesus doing on his way to the cross. And I love the stories from the book of John because John kind of slows things down. There's lots of dialogue. Now, one of my favorite things is I'm not an action movie kind of a guy. And my brother loves them. You know, like John Wick is great. And after, you know, 255 shooting instances, and I don't really care for it. But we watched this movie about Alan Turing. You remember him? You know what he did? Alan Turing? Yeah, invented a computer back during World War II because that decrypted the German messages, right? And so the Enigma machine, and they solved it, you know, with the help of Keira Knightley. She was a good help. Not only does she look good, she is smart. That's what I like in women. Dude, can you tell? So, it's a lot of dialogue. And here we have in John, we have a lot of, you know, back and forth between people, especially with Jesus and the woman at the well. That's the longest dialogue we have in the whole Bible. And so here we have Jesus just kind of walking along and the disciples are following and they're writing down what Jesus does. And here in chapter 9, we see him walking down the street. And they see a blind man on the side of the street and he's begging. He's got the old cup out and alms for the poor. And so the disciples say, you know, who sinned in this guy's family? Because he's blind for a reason, no fault of his own, but someone must have sinned. Was it his mother or his father? Who sinned? And Jesus says, neither. Now this goes against everything they say. If you have an infirmity in your life, it's because of the sin in your life. And the way to get, you're not righteous. And therefore, if you have sin in your life, then you can't go to the temple to pray. It's like this catch-22. If you've got leprosy, you can't go to the church to ask to be healed. You have to stay away. And it's, so there he is. He's on the side of the road and he's begging. That's all the life he knows. That's all he's got going for him. And Jesus says, he was born blind so that God would be glorified. And let me show you. So he takes mud and he spits on it and he puts it in his eyes. And he says, go down to the local pool there, the pool of Siloam there, and wash your eyes. And so he does and he comes back seeing. And now everyone's amazed, aren't they? Because they know him. They think they know him. And so he goes in front of the church and they're like, well, who healed you? Jesus. And like, impossible. First of all, he couldn't have done it. And second of all, he couldn't have done it because today's Saturday. Today's the Sabbath. He healed you on the wrong day. That's blasphemous. And what are the rest of us thinking? You know, any day's a good day to see, isn't it? If you wake up blind, heal me any day you got the time. And so he's healed and the Pharisees are yelling at him. The parents are disowning him because they don't want to get thrown out of the church because they know it was Jesus and they know Jesus is not popular. And so there he is and he's coming around and the Pharisees are around and everyone's arguing with them. And here we are at John chapter 10. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees who are gathered and he says, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. They're talking about gaining sight 2 minutes ago, and Jesus says, let me tell you a story. This throws them off track, doesn't it? Just walking, you know what, let's talk about sheep. And it's this story right here. And as I told you before, you all got to come up here one day. This sheep cracks me up. Isn't he adorable? This one, he's looking at you. These all, you know, looking other different directions and This place is beautiful, isn't it? We are in the house of the Lord. You built it right so many years ago, and it's beautiful. And so he's talking about the sheep. He says, the one who enters by the gate, he's the shepherd. And back in those days, they would have a stone enclosure, and they'd have a gate in front to keep out the robbers, right? To keep out the foxes, right? How high do I got to go? Apparently higher, right? I had another duck taken away this morning, and it breaks my heart, and it angers me, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, they listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and they lead them out. When he was brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. The sheep, they follow him because they know his voice. And we know this with animals, right? They know our voices. My wife had a rabbit in the house, and he had his cage, but the door was open. He had carpet that led to her office. And during COVID, she would call him, and he would run into the office. He loved the excitement in her voice, and he recognized it. He didn't come for me. Our cats do come for us occasionally, more than often, but my ducks come to me when I say, "Who wants watermelon?" They understand that. And they, what, they know what watermelon is. They don't have many words. They come a-running, and we know our dogs come to us, and they hear our voice, and they follow us, and it's our job to keep them safe, isn't it? And these are creatures, these sheep, they will not follow strangers. And he says, in fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The Pharisees are like, "What are you talking about? We're talking about the blind man. You healed him on a Saturday and you did wrong." And Jesus said, they used this figure of speech. These Pharisees don't understand. Jesus tells the story again. He says, "Listen, I'm the gate for the sheep, you see? A lot of sheep stories, huh? All have come before me. They're thieves and they're robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them." He says, "I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come, and they will go out, and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy and to kill." Jesus says, "I come so they may have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, he's not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep, they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, and they're not of this flock, and I got to bring them in also." That's you, folks. That's the Gentiles. "And they will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock, and there will be one shepherd." Jesus says, "The reason that my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, and I'll take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews heard these words and they're divided. It's confusing. Did he just say he's God, that he is one with God? That's blasphemy, right? And we know the penalty for blasphemy, don't we? Which is, it's stoning, right? And they said, "Well, he's demon-possessed. Listen to him. Why should we listen to him?" They said, "But didn't he open the blind?" This is Luke chapter 5 all over again, isn't it? Get off the floor. If he gets off the floor, then he's God, isn't he? But if he doesn't get off the floor, he's not God. And what does the man do? He gets off the floor. So which is it? If he can heal the blind man, is he demon-possessed? Is this what demons do? They come into your life and heal you? Which is it? You've just seen him do it. Which is it? We don't know yet. Now, last time you were here, Ken, I talked about Hanukkah. We're talking about Hanukkah again. Sorry, we don't talk about it every time you come, okay? It's just this time. So here we are in verse 22, and it's wintertime, and it's Hanukkah. It's the festival of the dedication. And Jesus is walking around in the courtyard, right? And the Jews there, there's Jesus. Let's go up to him and see what he's saying. And they're like, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the one? Are you the anointed one or not? Jesus, haven't you seen 5,000 being fed, 4,000 being fed? Didn't you hear I walked on water? Didn't you see I didn't pull Lazarus out. He's going to. But haven't you seen?" He says, "I did it. I did tell you." And he didn't believe me. "The works I do in my Father's name, they testify about me. If you do not believe because you are not my sheep, once again, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they know me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one." Once again, he's telling them plainly. So he says this, and it's blasphemy to them. So what are they going to do? They start to gather stones. They start to bend over and like, stay right where you are, Jesus. Right there, I mean, we're going to get the stones. We've seen Jesus talk to people like this before, and they pick up the stones. He says, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which one of these good works are you going to stone you? They're like, well, we like your good works. These are neat things, but since you did the blasphemy thing, we're going to stone you. Jesus says, not today. It's coming soon. Don't you know what it says? It's written in your law. You've read Psalm 82, haven't you? And it says, I have said that you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the scripture of the word of God came, and we can't set aside scripture, he uses our own logic against them, right? Those who judge Israel are considered gods with the lowercase g. They're gods, and how can I not be God, he says. Why do you accuse me of blasphemy if I say I am God? Because God said you're gods when you get to judge Israel. Do not believe me because I do the works of my Father, but if I do them, even though you do not believe the works, that you may know and understand this, that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And they're losing their minds. How dare you say this? You and the Father are the same? Now they're going to try to seize him, but he escapes their grasp, and because it's not his time to die. We've seen this there in Luke chapter 4 when he's on the edge at Nazareth. He's on the edge of the cliff. They say, we're going to throw you off the cliff. And Jesus says, not today. It's not my time to die. We'll let you know. You'll be there, but not today. And Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place called Perea where John had been baptizing in the early stage. And he stayed there, and many people came to him. And in that place, many people believed in Jesus. You see, the next story, Jesus is now, we see what he's done. He's come to the temple and he's confronting all the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he's telling them that he is the anointed one. He is the Christ and he is the Messiah. He and the Father are one, and look what I can do. And why does my Father love me? Because I'm obedient and I will do what he tells me to do. And he's going to tell me to die for all of you. And I'm going to go do it. And he loves me because I'm so obedient. You see, where is he now? He's at Perea, and what does he get? You see, this is what I do every time I share at a funeral. We move into the next chapter, John 11. Jesus is hiding out in Perea just until the time comes right. And then he gets a call from who? From Martha and Mary, doesn't he? My brother's sick. Would you come? And we know what Jesus says. He says, no. Would you come and save our brother? No. Please come. No. I'll get there when I get there, when I get there. Because when I get there, there's going to be a miracle. He's either going to be resurrected already in heaven, of which you know, he says to Martha, or I'm going to raise him now, which is what you want. And so I share this, and as you see how long it takes to put this story together, right? How beautiful it is where we see Jesus just walking down the street, healing a blind man. Now he can see. And everyone, half of them love him, half of them hate him. How could you hate him? Because he's claiming to be God. And we don't like that. And let me tell you something, folks. This is where it gets kind of personal. I try not to give too much because my wife's like, that's enough. I'm pretty much an open book, right? You know everything about me, right? And too much. But I see this in life. It's like at home, and I like to watch a movie on Netflix, and it's $8.99, and it's great, and we like it. And they said, share it with everyone, right? Remember when they said that? Share it with everyone. So you let everyone have your password, and everyone shares. Then they said, ooh, that's not enough money. Now you only two of you can use it, and we're going to charge you double. And so I go, oh, well, I like watching movies, so I pay double. And then I go to Costco, and I get the 2% discount by paying $100. Now they want $140. They want more from me. My insurance went up 33%. The coverage is the same. If prices are up, that means I'm underinsured now. And now I got to pay more, you know. And everything's, you know, you go to the supermarket, and everything's up, and then I get 11 spams yesterday by people wanting to talk about my toll booth usage. just send me the bill, right? My son going through it, or it's a scam. And I get about 15 calls a day, and I finally put my phone on do not disturb unless the 320 people that I actually like, their numbers ring. Ken, you rang on Friday. You're one of the ones I like. But if you're not on my top 300, you don't get through, and it's kind of neat, you know, because my phone never rings unless it's Ken Eshelman or somebody, or you know. So what I'm thinking is, you know, and as you know, I worked as in Champs Sports, and I was sued twice there, and then in 2008, our banks decided they didn't want us on the books. Y'all remember 2008? That was awful. And so the bank said, we don't want you on the books anymore. Pay us now. And we're like, what? You know, we had like a 30-year deal. And they said, so we had to, it was stress, so they sue you. And then, you know, my brother sued me. And Thursday night, I got another lawsuit. What do people think I drive a used pickup truck. Have you ever seen my house? It's 1,600 square. I'm the money man, apparently. And I am not. And so, you know, you get all this stress on you. And the world wants to take from you. And we live in this world, and we turn away the one thing it doesn't want to take from you. We turn away from the one who wants to give to you. And that's Jesus. And what does he say? He says, the thief, you know, the thief's come to steal and kill and destroy. But the good shepherd, what does he want to give us? He wants to give us life. This is the offer. He wants to live his life to the fullest with him. And we want the things of this world that just pick and take and little death by a thousand cuts. This is what we want in life. But what does Jesus want to offer us? He says we have to be obedient. He says, I'm obedient to the Father, and the Father loves me for it because I do his will. And what does he want for us to have these full lives, enriched? And so when we sit down, and I sit down in a home on a Tuesday morning with a family that's suffering, and they miss their mother. They ask me, what's it all about, and what's heaven like, and can I get there? Oh, yeah. What's it going to be like? And we read Revelation. We're going to be wearing white robes. The filthy clothes we have here are going to be turned white, and we're going to stand, and we're going to praise God. And we don't know what that's like, do we? But it's better. There's always something better. We've all had wine before, right? Like there, John, in chapter 2 in the book, in the Feast of Cana, they're drinking not the oaks, the average wine, right? You ever have good stuff? You have. You've had good beef, bad beef? You ever have a good, you know, crab meat where they stuff a lot of breading in it? No, when you get a real one with lots of crab meat in it. There's always something better, isn't there? There's a better style of clothing. There's better shoes. There's better cars. There's always something better. And we don't know what that is yet. And Jesus says it's praising our Father. It's being with him. This world, it wants to destroy and to kill and to steal from you. And Jesus says, no, come to me. Come to me, bring your burdens and lay them down. I'm going to give you life and life to the fullest. Isn't that what we want, folks? And that's what they need to hear out there. They're not hearing it at work and at school or wherever you are. They're not talking about these things. I can't believe I get to sit there and talk to people about this. It's amazing. And we talk an hour and a half. And that funeral was like 4.5 hours long from the drive to Baltimore and back. And to meet all these new people, they were a nice family. But they don't know where mom is. And I get to tell them, does she love Jesus? Yes, she's in heaven. Are you sure? I'm sure. I'm sure. I have blessed assurance. I'm double sure. Because I trust in him. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust what he says? He wants to give you something, life, and life to the fullest. Do you accept it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son, your obedient son, your only son. And you told him to come down here and to save us and to show us how. Lay down your life for them. Take all their sins upon your back. And if they trust in you, my son, they will have lived life to the fullest, and they will live well, and they will live blessedly. And when it's time for me to meet them, I will meet them face to face as the Father, and we will take off the filthy robes. We will put on clean robes, and we will praise and worship and sing together, and there will be no more hunger, no more thirst, and no more tears, no more pain, new bodies, a new heaven, a new earth. This is what we look forward to. This is the promise. This is what we need to share. We have so much hope. The world is hopeless. The wolves are at everyone's door. They're coming in to destroy and to tear apart. But the shepherd protects us. Trust in the good shepherd. Amen.